Welcome back to Search and Rescue Pentagon Escape. Today we're going to read Sage around 10:25 a.m. Listen what they say.
Sage around 10:25 a.m. We approach the entry doors from the parking lot, but a team of firefighters waves us back, and not even the authority of the pack leader with us, a man they call Captain, can get us through. It's burning over 1,000 degrees this way, one firefighter says. No one is alive in this section, emphasizing the point. I see a group of firefighters exiting at that moment, looking exhausted, their thick fireproof coats steaming. They've come to change air tanks and give another crew a shot at the hoses. My small team of humans regroups and comes up with a new plan. We have to get back in our vehicles and drive around the building, into a tunnel, and come out in the courtyard, where we can make our entrance at the last place this boy, Mikey, was seen. So it's back in the car I go, though this time the captain's pickup truck leads us, sirens blazing. We go so fast I have to lie down. I can't even sit up to look out the window like I usually do. It upsets my tummy a little bit, if I'm being honest. And an upset tummy is one of my least favorite things. It starts to make me feel nervous, and then feel even more nervous when we go through the tunnel underneath the big building. There are hoses and firefighters all around, and ambulances screeching by even faster than us. Our headlights blaze forward through dust and smog. I don't like it in here, and I'm relieved when we come out into what looks like a park. I wonder why this big building has a park right in the middle of it. I want to pop my head up to see it better, but we're still moving fast, weaving through. When I try to sit up, I can't get my paws stable in the booties, so I skitter and scrape and thump onto my side. It's embarrassing. I'm not some clumsy, nervous puppy. I decide to stay lying down until we come to a stop a few minutes later. We're on a narrow drive, almost like a street between buildings. I'm not sure how we got here, but the air smells so strongly of fire and destruction that I know we must be close to the disaster itself. My handler lets me out, clipping my leash again, and we make our way to where the captain is talking to some other firefighters. They're pointing at big openings in the wall, broken spots that don't look like doors. They look like holes I might dig to bury a bone. They're surrounded by heaps of rubble. I even see a huge burn wheel that smells like jet fuel. This must be the place. The captain is telling my handler where to go in. The boy was last seen through this door, heading up corridor 5, the captain says. But we've got reports of flare-ups, structural weakness, and collapses. There's a team and they're now putting out some of the flames. If you stick behind them, you should be okay for a bit. It's not a good idea, but there could be a kid alive in there, my handler says, all the fear gone from her voice. Her shoulders are back, her chin up. She's all confidence. Her body language makes me feel confident too, and I perk up, ready. I'm not even panting anymore. I'm in work mode. Once you get a dog like me in work mode, we don't stop until we get the job done, and get a reward, of course. She leads me past the big holes in the wall, to the door. It takes me a bit to get comfortable walking in my weird booties, but I'm glad I have them on, because the ground is hot and covered in all kinds of sharp junk. It's dim and smoky, and even with my handler's light and the work lights the firefighters have set up, it's hard to see much of anything. Luckily, seeing isn't the most important thing for me right now. Sure, I need to see. Dogs can't rely only on their noses. But my nose is what's gonna tell me where to go. My eyes and ears and paws are what'll get me to where my nose points. I'm so excited to get started, I pull the leash. Heel, my handler orders, calming me. I return to her heel, walking at her side and sniffing. There's a collapse ahead, a firefighter yells through his mask, which muffles his voice. Hallways branching here and here, he's pointing side to side, and my nose works the air. I sniff for any trace of the scents I picked up on the necktie, any trace of live human beings at all. There are so many different smells rushing at me. I'm almost dizzy, and for a moment I fear I'm not up to this. I'll never figure out what's what or where it's coming from. My whole body is tense as I sniff, but so far, I get nothing useful. Until I catch something. It's sweat and blood and breath. It's faint, but it's alive and it's coming from somewhere straight ahead in the big hallway. I pull again, nose forward, tail straight. My handler resists, pulling me back. Ugh. I remember she's not my usual handler. Maybe she doesn't know all my body language or understand what I'm trying to tell her. That way. I'm saying. I smell something that way. In frustration, I bark. The firefighters startle, but to her credit, my handler stays cool. She bends down, well below the smoke line that lingers up at human head height. She unclips my leash. Go, find, she says, and I'm off, racing ahead. She keeps her light shining on me, so she doesn't lose me in the dark. I'm at the huge pile of rubble in a flash, and my nose gets to work, weaving over the edges, then picking my way carefully up the heap. It's slick with water from the firefighters' hoses, but I don't feel any live fires. I keep climbing, checking each piece of rubble, looking for clues. I have to weave back and forth over the rubble, treading lightly so I don't stumble. Then I lose the scent and turn back, heading toward the wall. For a moment, I think I've lost it for good, then it comes back to me, a trace of live human smell again. It's male, and it's ripe, and that makes me excited that I'm on track. I move back down to a gap in the rubble where it's strongest, and I start pawing at it. Every swipe of my paw brings more of the scent my way. Yep, there is definitely something down there. I stop pawing and let loose my loudest alert bark. And then another, and another. The humans come running. My handler whistles me over and immediately rubs my head. She tells me what a good boy I am, then gives me my toy for a nice game of tug. Meanwhile, the firefighters shift and dig through the heap until they find a section of fallen wall. It takes four of them to heave it up. Even from a few feet away where I'm playing tug, I smell the burst of scents as the wall comes up. They uncover the human being lying there, alive. I even stop my favorite game to look, just to see the amazing work I've done. Except it's not a boy. It's a firefighter injured, barely awake, but alive. The others hoist him up, radio for a medic, and immediately start carrying him out of the smoky corridor. It's Chad, one of them says. Chad, can you hear me, buddy? The firefighter answers weakly. A boy, Mikey, about 13 years old. He make it. We're still looking for him, my handler tells the injured firefighter as he's carried past. The firefighter gives a weak thumbs up. I can smell the rise of hope in him, and that's how I know we're going to keep searching as disappointed as I am. I let go of the toy without even being told to, and my handler puts it back in her bag. I'm afraid I don't know how to do this, that I don't even know where to start. But I'm not about to give up. I stick my nose to the ground and start sniffing, weaving back and forth down the corridor, poking my nose wherever my handler points. All I've got so far is fire and fuel and the smells of death and decay. Nothing living, nothing alive. My nose and paws have already started to hurt from the smoke and heat, and I don't know how much longer I can do this. But somewhere there is a kid who's counting on me, and no dog in history has ever wanted to let a kid down. I don't intend to either.